1 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. 1 Corinthians 4. We've been in 1 Corinthians on Sunday nights for a little while as we're really emphasizing the theme for the year that we would be perfectly joined together. God desires for His churches to be unified. He wants us to be unified not just in common interest in worldly things, but He wants us to be unified in our walk with Him. He wants us to be unified in doctrine. He wants us to be unified in service to Him. And so we are studying together the book of 1 Corinthians because it is a book that really addresses a church that is struggling with division. And it's struggling with division for a lot of different reasons. Some of those reasons are doctrinal error. Some of those reasons are sin that's not being dealt with. But kind of the overarching reason is the church has adopted too high a view of man and too low a view of God, elevating certain individuals to a status that is beyond what God would desire. There were, as we read the first few chapters, identifying with certain groups. They were dividing into cliques. And some were saying, I am of Paul, I am a Paulician. And others would say, no, I'm more of a disciple of Apollos. And others would say, I go back a lot further than that. I'm a follower of Cephas, of Peter. And then some got real spiritual and said, well, I am of Christ. And the whole message really of these first few chapters is to say this, Christ is not divided. We are to humble ourselves before Him and serve Him together. And so that's kind of where we pick up chapter 4. And if you're there with me in 1 Corinthians 4, would you stand as we read the first six verses of 1 Corinthians 4? Verse number 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. If you're ever looking for good insults, the Bible is full of them. That statement right there, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light, or who both will bring to light, the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I've got a little bit of a morbid question for you. Have you ever contemplated what you would like your tombstone to read? You ever thought about that? What do you want to be remembered for? Maybe not even just what do you want to be remembered for, but how would you like others to see you as you're here? When others hear your name, what do you want to come into their mind? There's an issue that I think is often overlooked that the Bible actually speaks of quite a bit. It's an issue of identity. Who are you? Who am I? And we all really, to some degree, have struggles with our identity. That's something, it's one reason that the Bible addresses it so much, to tell us who we are and how we ought to see ourselves. Because we struggle with that, and all of us have a self-image. We have there's a way that you see yourself. And probably for all of us, there are some things that we're overly critical about ourselves. And then there are probably some things for all of us that we are overly confident about in ourselves. But we have a self-image. There are things that we think of when we think of ourselves. And then there's what others see in us. And this one can be kind of confusing because we never really truly know what others think of us. Right? We never really know. We might have an idea, but most of us have something that we would like other people to think of us that may or may not be true. We would like them to see the best side of us and maybe not see our flaws, and so we put our best foot forward, and there's a reason that, you know, you don't want to run into anyone when you're walking through Walmart in your pajamas with no makeup, ladies, the hair down, right? Or guys in your work clothes or whatever the case is. Because you're afraid that people are going to see something that is going to damage your image. But really, regardless of what you see in yourself, or what I see in myself, or what others think of us, what really matters is this: when God looks at you, what does he see? God knows everything about you. He knows things about you that nobody knows, not even yourself. He knows the things that you've done from birth until now. He knows the things that you'll be doing tomorrow. He knows the words that you have not even spoken yet and the thoughts of your heart. God knows it all. And I've often said this, that it really is a lot less important what people think of us than what God knows about us. Because God knows. In this chapter, as Paul is addressing the church here, and he's really encouraging them not to place their confidence in the flesh, not in themselves, not in Paul, not in Apollos, but in the Lord himself. As he's doing that, he makes this statement at the beginning of verse number 1, and he says, "Let a man so account of us." In other words, this is a very significant statement. He's saying this: this is what I want you to think of when you think of me. And he says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ." So he addresses their reputation, his reputation, Apollos' reputation, and he says to them, here's what you need to think of when you think of Paul, when you think of Apollos. They are ministers. They are servants. Now, because we have been exposed to the Bible for so long, it's become part of our culture that we kind of elevate someone who is willingly a servant to others. We see that as a positive thing. Rightly so. We might compliment someone by saying, you have a servant's heart. That's a positive thing. In church, that's a good thing, right? You hear someone say, oh, they've got a servant's heart. Okay, that's a good thing. But do we understand that the concept of being a minister, of being a servant, has to do with being lowly? It's not about self-exaltation. It's not this idea that I am some great person. It's actually much less than that. It's lowering ourselves below the level of other people. Humbling ourselves and thinking of others and esteeming others better than ourselves. Ministers. And this is the reputation, if you will, that Paul was trying to leave behind. I am simply a humble servant of the Lord. I want you to hold your place here in 1 Corinthians. Go back to the previous book, Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. And I want to show you these words. The first of the epistles of Paul in our Bible starts with these words. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. Paul could have said any number of things about himself there. Now, obviously, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? So he wasn't just writing of his own will. But still, I want you to think about this. He didn't identify himself and say, Paul, the great apostle. Paul, the father of your faith. Paul, the brother in Christ who led you to the Lord and taught you all things. He doesn't say, it's just Paul. A servant of Jesus Christ. That was how he wanted to be known, as a servant. What is your reputation? He said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Listen, here's a church that is looking to men like Paul and Apollos, and they are elevating them to this level of worship. And they're saying, listen, I'm a follower of that guy. I want to be like that guy. And Paul says, no, no, no. Here's what you need to remember. Anything that has come through us, anything good that has come through us, it's because we're ministers of Christ and we are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are simply entrusted with the gospel. And so you could look at us and say, wow, you know, thank you for the great work that you did among us, but really, we were simply doing what we had been called to do. We were just being obedient to the will of our Father. We were simply stewards of the mysteries of God. So he addresses their reputation, but then he speaks of this requirement. Look at verse number 2. He says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So this is what he's wanting to be remembered for. Again, and understand this, it's not like he's saying to the church, hey, here's what you need to remember about me, don't forget it. It's more like this. This is the reality of who I am. And so rather than elevating me and glorifying me, just glorify God, because I'm simply a servant, I'm simply a messenger, and I'm just doing that which is expected of me. I'm just doing that which is required. God has entrusted something to me. I'm a steward of it. I'm responsible for the watch care of that. And I hope you understand that as stewards of the mysteries of God, as stewards of the gospel, we have a responsibility not just to protect it and keep it, but to publish it. So he's saying, I simply did what God had called me to do because it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So my first desire is that you would see me as I am, just a minister. And secondly, as one who's simply being faithful. Have you thought about the fact that you have been entrusted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a great privilege. And it really is not a reason to boast. It's not. Oftentimes we can look at people who are doing what God's called them to do, and we can kind of begin to elevate them and look at them and admire them. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to look at someone who's in the will of God and think, you know, that inspires me to do better and to grow and to be more Christ-like. But it is wrong when we start elevating that and saying, you know, that's someone that I venerate, someone that I worship, right? So something that I could never be that. No, he's like, I'm just a servant. I'm just a steward. But what's he doing? He's publishing the gospel. We've been entrusted with this message. We're ambassadors for Christ, right? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he says, it's required. It's required that a man be found faithful. And in the midst of all of this, he then goes on and he deals with the issue of judgment. This revelation of Christ, that when Christ comes, and he says in verse number 3, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. In other words, and I don't think he's saying this with a sarcastic tone like I might, okay? I think what he's actually saying here is this. I don't really care what you think of me. I'm not doing the things that I do so that you can see me in a particular light. It's a small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. And then he goes on and he says this, yea, I judge not mine own self. In other words, listen, think about this. I am not living life concerned about my image to other people or even my self-image. That's what he's saying. I'm not even judging myself. I'm not living my life with this idea of making myself feel better about myself or making others think more highly of me. No, he says, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. God knows. And so he says in verse number 5, then therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. And he speaks of this judgment at the revelation of the Lord when he comes. And look what he says. When the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Can I tell you something that we as Christians often overlook the severity of the judgment of God? And it's because we believe in eternal security, because the Bible teaches that if you're saved, you're in Christ, and you're never going to be lost, you're never going to die and go to hell. Praise the Lord for that. But that sometimes causes us to think, well, then it doesn't really matter, right, how I live or what I do, because it's all under the blood. And when Christ, you know, when God sees me, he sees the blood of Christ, and that's true. But there is a seriousness about judgment. There's a seriousness about the judgment seat of Christ. And I want you to notice that his statement here, that one of the things that's going to happen at the judgment is that the Lord will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. You know what that means? He's going to bring to light the things that nobody else saw. He'll bring it to light. Sometimes we feel like we're getting away with things because nobody sees. Go with me to Luke chapter 12, if you would. Look at something that Jesus himself said about this. You know, nobody else saw it. Nobody else heard that. Nobody else heard the word that I said, or nobody else knew the thought that was going on in my mind. Nobody else knew what I was looking at late last night when I was sitting up on my phone or whatever the case is. Nobody knows what I do in my free time. Nobody knows what I do when nobody else is around. But look what Jesus said in Luke chapter number 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Boy, that's a pretty sobering statement from the Lord, isn't it? Just think about this for a moment. What if tonight we took everyone's phone and we hooked it up to the projector and we showed everything that's come across your screen in the last 7 days? Wonder how many people would never want to show their face again. Every text you've sent, everything you've looked at, every video you've watched, every song you've listened to. We're not going to do that. But apparently God will. He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Can't hide behind a false self-image then, can you? Not really. Who you really are is going to be known. Then, not only does he say that he's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness, but it says, we'll make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Wow. So not only the things that I've done, the things that I've said, the things that... No. even the things that are going on in my heart, the things that nobody else could know about, my thought life. God's going to make those things known. And according to Romans 2 and verse 2, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. So there's really nothing then, is there, that's hidden. Oh, it is for a time, and like we heard this morning, and I don't want to repeat the whole message this morning, but the truth is that God looks at things differently than we do. We judge based on what we can see, but God judges based on what He knows, that which no one else knows. And so with that, He says, my reputation is just simply a minister, a servant, a steward. The requirement is that I would be faithful, that I would be trustworthy. Because at the revelation, I'm going to stand before God and He's going to make it known and make it clear what He saw in me. And then He says this in verse number 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. You know, this is a lesson that I think all of us have to learn. This is true everywhere in life, but remember, He's addressing a church here. And He says, one of the problems with division in a church is that you're thinking of men too highly. When men become the focal point of the church, problems arise. There's one person here that we're supposed to honor. And it's not me, and it's not you. It's the Lord. This is His church. This is His church. And so He deserves all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor. And when we begin to think of men, and I love that statement, that you think of men above that which is written. Don't think of men above that which is written. Why? Because you might look at someone and say, well, yeah, I know that they're imperfect and they're a sinner, but man, that's a good man. That's a godly man. Okay, but what is written? As it is written. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And don't start to think of anyone above that, because that's all we are. That's all we are, is a bunch of depraved sinners. And you know what? If we would get that in our minds, in our hearts, a couple of things would happen. Number one, we wouldn't elevate man to a level where he gets in the way of our view of God. Number two, we wouldn't be so let down when people fail us. Because we'd be willing to understand, hey, we're all just a bunch of broken sinners. And so when so-and-so wrongs me and hurts me in some way, it's easier for me to forgive them because I recognize, yeah, they are exactly what God says they are. They're a fallen sinner in need of salvation, just like me. And you know what? I am no better than them. We're all sinners. Don't think of men above that which is written. And then He says that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. In other words, when you look through the room tonight, you should not hold some in higher esteem and higher regard than others. Boy, is that a hard thing to do, if we're honest, isn't it? It's hard. Some people are more respectable than others. Some people are more likable than others. I mean, we're just being honest tonight, right? But He says, don't puff up one against another. You're all on the same plane. And there's really one that is to receive the honor and glory, and it is the Lord Himself. So tonight, as we just have briefly looked at these six verses of 1 Corinthians 4. I want to ask you this. What is the account of your life? Let a man so account of us. Okay, what is the account of your life? What are you striving to portray that others would account of you? Can I encourage you? Strive for servanthood. Humble yourself. Don't seek to make yourself big in the sight of others. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Make yourself small, that the Lord may be where he belongs. John the Baptist said it this way, he must increase, but I must decrease. That should be the heart of every child of God. And then let me encourage you with this as well. Not only what is the account of your life and what are you striving to cause others to think of you or see in you, but really, what is God seeing in you? And then this, how do you account of others? How do you account of others? How do you account of me? I know this, listen, I understand that the Bible teaches that the office of a pastor is requires a certain degree of deference and honor. I get that. I believe that that's true. But I want to reiterate as often as I can, don't ever think of me as something above you. I'm just a fellow servant. I'm just a fellow servant. Don't look at other people and think, man, that's someone that, you know, I could never be. No, no, no. Just servants. Servants of God. Sinners here to serve the Lord. Stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what we are. We are fellow laborers in the gospel. And he is worthy of all the attention and all the praise and all the glory. That's who he is. And so let's lift him up in our hearts and minds tonight.